from the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and about the folks who have detailed information on saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses. So please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in that dragon at the road blockade. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. All right, let's start out with action news. A group claims responsibility for firebombing a federal corral. A radical environmental group is claiming responsibility for firebombing a federal corral to protest government roundups of wild horses. A spokesman for the Animal Liberation Front said that another group, the Earth Liberation Front, appears to be taking credit for firebombing the Bureau of Land Management Wild Horse Corral near the California-Nevada border. Through the group's communique, contains a few inconsistencies with the arson earlier this month. Last month, actually, the North American Press Office of the Animal Liberation Front in Kootenay, British Columbia, received a communique from someone claiming to represent the Earth Liberation Front, ALF spokesperson David Barbaresh told Associated Press. ELF claimed responsibility for setting four timed incendiary devices aimed at destroying two barns, two vehicles, and one office building at a BLM wild horse holding facility. The action was taken in opposition to the BLM's continued war against the Earth, a copy of the message said. For years, the Bureau of Land Management has rounded up thousands of wild horses and burros to clear public land for grazing cattle. In the name of all that is wild, we will continue to target industries and organizations that seek to profit by destroying the Earth. One of the four firebombs with timing devices started a fire that destroyed a barn full of hay, causing $85,000 in damage on October 15th at the BLM's Litchfield Horse Facility, about 80 miles north of Reno near Susanville, California. No one was injured. The attack at the Litchfield Corral October 15th included the cutting of sections from wooden fences to corrals holding more than 200 wild horses in order to free them from captivity. After moving domestic horses to a safe distance, we set four timed incendiary devices aimed at destroying two barns, two vehicles, and one office building, the message said. Bomb squads were able to disarm three of the incendiary devices before they went off. The horses were far from the bombs and not in any danger. None escaped, the BLM said. The BLM estimates 48,000 wild horses and burros are running free across parts of 10 western states, about half of them in Nevada. Last year, the agency rounded up an estimated 7,000 wild horses, but agency officials said earlier this year the population is too large for the range to sustain, and they'd like to pare it by nearly half by 2005. ALF and ELF have claimed responsibility over the past 5 years for dozens of actions across the country, including an arson at BLM Wild Horse Corrals near Burns, Oregon, in November of 1997. Both ALF and ELF have targeted these wild horse facilities for a few years, Barbaresh said. If they have targeted these kinds of facilities in the past and nothing has changed, there is nothing to say they won't target them again in the future. And this story written by Scott Sonner of the Associated Press.
All right, it seems we may have the ping pong to that action here. This just in happened about yesterday, day for the former Earth Liberation Front spokesperson received subpoena to testify before a congressional subcommittee on eco-terrorism. Craig Rosenbaugh, a spokesperson for the North American Earth Liberation Front, that's the EOF, from 1997 to 2001, received a subpoena on October 31st to testify at a congressional subcommittee meeting on eco-terrorism. The subpoena, delivered by two U.S. marshals, demands Rosenbaugh to appear before the Congressional Subcommittee on Forests and Forest Health at 3 p.m. on February 12, 2002, in good old Washington, D.C. At a congressional meeting on October 3, 2001, United States Representative Scott McInnes of Colorado successfully argued for Rosenbaugh to be subpoenaed for the February 2002 meeting. McInnes, the chairperson of the Subcommittee on Forests and Forest Health, is seeking information from Rosenbaugh on the Earth Liberation Front, which has since 1997 inflicted more than $40 million in damages to entities profiting from the destruction of the environment. Rosenbaugh states that he will not cooperate with, quotes, attempts by Congress to stop the work of the brave, heroic individuals in the EOF who are trying to end the destruction of life. He stepped down from his role as spokesperson for the EOF on September 5th, feeling that others need to step forward to take on the role of speaking out and showing support for the group. During the 4 years Rosenbaugh acted as spokesperson, he received seven subpoenas to testify before federal grand juries investigating the actions of the good old EOF. In addition, federal authorities conducted two raids on his home, work, and vehicles. Hundreds of items were seized in the raids. Yet Rosenbaugh has yet to ever be charged with one crime related to the EOF. Rosenbaugh says he thinks the work of the EOF is important and crucial in trying to demonstrate that life is more important than profits. The legal forms of objection and attempts at changes in environmental policy since the 60s have not worked. Our environment is more polluted and destroyed now than ever before. More actions like those of the EOF are needed to stop the destruction of life caused by greedy, corrupt corporations and politicians. Further responding to what he was planned for the February meeting, Rosenbaugh stated, you guys will like this one. In light of the events of September 11th, my country has told me that I should not cooperate with terrorists. I therefore am refusing to cooperate with the members of Congress who are some of the most extreme terrorists in history. Currently, they are responsible for allowing the slaughter of now over an estimated 1,500 Afghanistan civilians. They are responsible for September 11th attacks due to horrendous United States foreign policies of imperialism, and they are responsible for the current ongoing genocide against the innocent people of Afghanistan. This alleged war on terrorism has largely been conducted to allow the United States to attempt to oust the Taliban and put in place a new puppet regimen in Afghanistan who would allow the United States to build their much sought-after pipeline from the Turkmenistan oil reserves through southern Afghanistan, Pakistan, and to the Gulf. These sorts of practices, mixed in with domestic policies of racism, classism, and further imperialism at the expense of life, demonstrate the truly terrorist reality of the United States Congress and government. I could not live with myself if I cooperated with that injustice. Thank you, Craig. And if you can give Craig a hand, we've got his home telephone number here. Grab a pen because this guy needs some hand. This guy is standing up for everybody. So if we can give him a hand, check him out. His area code 503-335-1436. That's 503-335-1436. Get some friends together, help him out in ways that he may not even know. But you know what? We need to stand up, and this guy's been standing up for us for a long time, and we need to, you know, back the brother.
Moving to South America, Amazon mahogany criminals are busted. $7 million of green gold is seized. The growing battle against the mahogany criminals of the Brazilian Amazon reached a flashpoint recently Recently, in an unprecedented joint operation between the federal police, government officials, and Greenpeace, raided a sawmill, bringing an end to a five-day mission which uncovered a total of 7,165 cubic meters of illegal mahogany worth almost $7 million on the international market. The sawmill, empty, but surrounded by logs carefully hidden in the bush, would have been the clearing point for the illegal mahogany found in the previous days. Three helicopters, two planes, five trucks, 16 officials from the Brazilian environmental agency IBAMA, and police, accompanied by 11 Greenpeace activists, converged on the sawmill outside the township of Urara, a front line of illegal logging in the Amazon. The investigation team visited four locations in the middle land of the Brazilian Amazon, behind a dam built by loggers on the Carajari River. 1,674 cubic meters of illegal mahogany were found. These logs were located inside public lands where logging is strictly prohibited. IBAMA seized the largest haul of logs in the whole operation, 5,185 cubic meters, which was located at the Java Lindia farm by the Iriri River. Two gunmen were also arrested by the police in the area during the operation. The seizures followed several recent Greenpeace exposés of the mahogany corruption trail, which preceded a death threat to Greenpeace Amazon campaign coordinator Paulo Ardario, which we reported on Earth First Radio, and an announcement a few weeks ago by the Brazilian government suspending all logging, transport, and trade of Brazilian mahogany until it completes an investigation into the industry. High-quality mahogany is found only in pristine areas of rainforest, let's say old growth, so the illegal mahogany trade is directly responsible for the destruction of these areas as it leaves behind a network of roads and trails that other loggers can use to access the remaining forest. The illegal mahogany industry has for years been driving the destruction of the Amazon. After witnessing the rampant destruction of this rainforest firsthand, it is clear to us that the only course of action left of the Brazilian government is to throw these loggers in jail and stop this industry until it can be brought under control, said Adario. Only a month ago, Greenpeace released photographs and video images from the recent aerial reconnaissance showing sophisticated logging operations in lands belonging to the Amazon's Cayapo Indians, another area where logging is strictly prohibited. 3 days ago, another flight over the area revealed a large raft of illegal mahogany logs was ready to be transported downstream. IBAMA cannot investigate inside Indian lands without the support of FUNAI, the Brazilian Indian Agency, but unfortunately FUNAI did not take part in the operation. A recent Greenpeace report, Partners in Mahogany Crime, found out that the mahogany trade is driving the destruction of the Brazilian Amazon rainforest and is run by a corrupt industry which is undermining traditional cultures, leading the illegal destruction of the world's most biologically diverse ancient forest. The report details these illegal acts and the two mahogany kings, Moses Carvalho Pereira and Osmar Alves Ferreira, who control most of the trade. According to the information obtained from workers, the wood seized at the Java Lindia farm belongs to Osmar Ferreira. Much of the mahogany paperwork is falsified, and the wood is then exported by these companies to international markets, predominantly in the United States, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, and Germany. Just four importers, DLH Norsk, Alhoma Lumber, J. Gibson McVeigh Company Limited, and Intercontinental Hardwoods Incorporated account for more than two-thirds of the mahogany export trade in 1 year from Moses and Ferreira. This mahogany is largely used in luxury goods such as yachts, high-class furniture, musical instruments, and coffins. The exposure of this scandal is part of Greenpeace's global campaign for the protection of the world's last ancient forests. Approximately 80% of the original global forests have already been destroyed. Greenpeace is calling on world governments to take immediate steps to halt rainforest destruction by placing a total global moratorium on logging and other industrial activities in all large areas of ancient forests, adopting measures to ensure that lumber is produced and traded in an ecologically, socially, and legally responsible way, and establishing a network of protected areas and creating a global ancient forest fund of $15 billion annually to fund these measures. If you'd like to see the reports and other information, they're available at www.greenpeace.org/Amazon. That's www.greenpeace.org/Amazon.
All right, you cats at home, how you doing out there? Letting you know that we've got a lot of backing out there, a lot of people giving us a good hand, and you think you really dig this, the Earth First Action Camp announcement. Hole in the headwaters logging spawns Earth First Action Camp. Camp will be at Grizzly Creek State Park, November 3rd through the 17th. At the Grizzly Creek State Park, November 3rd through the 17th. So you guys should check that out. Be very good. It's the Humboldt Forest Defenders, including North Coast Earth First, will be hosting an action camp in Humboldt County, California, beginning on November 3rd. That's just right around the corner. It's kind of a little jumpy, but you know, sometimes you got to go get together, stand up for what you believe in. And
yeah, that's when the action camp starts. Get there as soon as you can, even if you can't get there on the 3rd. Go.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time. It's good. I understand there is a work out there, and you know, we got to take care of that stuff somehow. But you know what? Pay your rent, work for the earth. The Maxam Pacific Lumber has already begun logging the hole in the headwaters. 705 acres of second growth and residual old growth redwoods actually within the boundary of the headwaters reserve. Loggers have boasted that they'll be done in 30 days. The camp will offer training such as nonviolence, backwoods, jail solidarity, and tree climbing, as well as food, fire songs, and an old growth redwood atmosphere while protecting them. The camp will be held at Grizzly Creek State Park, around 17 miles up Highway 36, which runs east off Highway 101, just south of Fortuna. Once you get onto Highway 36, follow past Carlotta Swimmer's Delight Campground and the Grizzly Creek State Park signs. Within a mile, you will see Grizzly Creek Campground sign on your left, and you'll turn to the right and park. I hope you guys have tape recorders for that one. The camp will be to your right. If you're coming from the east, Highway 36, then the sign will be on your right. You will turn to your left, and the camp will still be on your right. People are encouraged to bring tents, sleeping bags, warm clothes, extra food, a few dollars to help pay for the site. That is optional, though. Rain gear and good old spirit, that is necessary. This Maxam and the Corporation Industrial Forestry Complex continue to ravage Humboldt County and must be stopped before it's too late. We have no trees left. Already, mills are shutting down due to the liquidation logging that has been destroying Humboldt County's local economy. While millions of dollars in timber revenue are being spent thousands of miles from our local communities, Big Timber is going after the last of the old growth, clear-cutting on insanely steep slopes and threatening to decimate the last viable coho salmon and steelhead trout runs of the North Coast. We continue to suffer the effects of herbicides, diesel fuel, siltation, landslides, and the loss of local economy. Offer the luxurious lives of a few greedy people. Nonviolent, civil disobedient, direct action is a long-standing tradition of dissent, giving the people a voice and a chance to communicate with each other about the issues that are important to everyone today, tomorrow, and in the future. Please come and learn more about the art of resistance and take part in this historic movement of good-hearted, peace-seeking people standing up to corporate greed and inequality staring them down in the face. The hole in the headwaters is being cut. New timber harvest plans are being processed, and many other plans all over Humboldt County are being approved every single day. We have the capacity to accommodate over 100 people. So come on over to Humboldt County and take a stand for the trees. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 707-825-6598. That's 707-825-6598. You can also page Shunka at 707-269-9731. That's 269-9731. And it's a numerical pager. They'll get back to you. Hey, it's going to be a good time. That would be too bad to stop by for a few days.
Sure would, and get some action under your belt. All right, moving north into Oregon, there's also an action camp coming up starting Friday, November 8th, and running through Sunday, November 10th. They'll have workshops including tree climbing, red tree vole surveying, wilderness first aid, herb walks, hikes to Felix, and Little River demo sales, and much more. Carpools will leave the Growers Market at 454 Willamette on 10 a.m. Friday. What to bring? Be prepared for cold, wet weather, probably snow. Also bring tents or tarps and warm sleeping bags, rain gear, and food to share. If you'd like more information, maps, or questions, or interested in carpools on Saturday, call Cascadia Forest Defenders at 503-684-8255. 503-684-8977. That's 503-684-8977. Just when you thought all was quiet in the Umpqua, Felix and Little River Demo timber harvest plans may be logged this winter. Felix is 330 acres of old growth. It has risen from the dead thanks to Hogan's delisting of the coho. They really want to get their saws on this one this winter if possible. That action camp again, Friday, November 8th through Sunday, November 10th. The number, 503-684-8977.
Here's action alerts. Stop the slaughter of sea turtles in Baja, Mexico. Between 8,000 and 30,000 endangered loggerhead and Pacific green sea turtles are killed each year. Despite a presidential ban on the harvest of sea turtles in 1990, these animals continue to face extinction. Today, turtles still lumber out of the emerald waters of Mexico's Pacific coast to lay their eggs on the ivory-white sand beaches, as they have done for eons. Thousands of these Pacific sea turtles, representing five separate species, will also spend a good part of their lives swimming the coasts of Baja California, feeding in the rich coastal estuaries and lagoons. Unfortunately, due to mankind, for many thousands of these sea turtles, foraging along the coast of Baja ends up being their last supper because a sea turtle slaughter is occurring that is costing the lives of anywhere from 8,000 to 30,000 of the ancient mariners each and every year. This is possibly the largest sea turtle slaughter occurring anywhere in the world today. Scientists studying these populations have found that these turtles come to Baja are not necessarily Mexican turtles. For example, the loggerhead turtles being killed nest in faraway Japan and travel the whole distance to Baja, California, and at least some of the leatherbacks may nest in Indonesia. What is occurring in Baja, California is an international outrage, and the turtles from these various regions are in deep trouble. For example, Japanese nesting loggerhead populations have declined by 50% in the past 10 years, and the unique population of Pacific green, also called the black sea turtle, that nests in the Mexican state of Michoacán, have plummeted almost 90% from 13,000 in 1990 to 145 last year, despite 20 years of vigorous protection on the nesting beach. But things may be changing in Mexico with your help. We can turn the situation around and gain permanent protection for this critically important region. Here's a good thing you can do. There's a great gentleman down there. His name is Presidente Vincent Fox. We have his address here. He's at care of Embassy of Mexico, Mexico. That's 1911 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., 20,006. But this will get through the embassy to him. And here is his email address, vlichtinger@semarnat.gov.mx. So I think he's got some Germans working for him or something. You can spell it like vlichtinger@semarnat.gov.mx. That's Mexico's Secretary of Environment and Natural Resources, Victor Lichtinger. You can also find out more information about what's exactly killing the turtles at www.seaturtles.org.
Public comments are sought on condor reintroductions. Land managers and condor biologists will hold open houses in Arizona and Utah next month to seek public input on an ongoing program to reintroduce California condors to the canyonlands and high plateaus of northern Arizona and southern Utah. Unfortunately, the first open house in Kanab, Utah has already happened, but the second one is on Monday, November 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Arizona Game and Fish Department office in Flagstaff, Arizona. The open houses include presentations and group discussions on various aspects of the condor recovery in northern Arizona. The success of the condor recovery project in northern Arizona is large part due to the support of the local community, said Bruce Palmer, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service California Condor Recovery Coordinator. The open house provides us with an opportunity to update the public on the project and listen to any concerns or ideas that may improve the program. If you'd like to submit some comments by writing, you can do so until November 23rd to the California Condor Recovery Program Coordinator, Ventura Fish and Wildlife Office, 2494 Portola Road, Suite B, Ventura, California, 93003. That address again, California Condor Recovery Program Coordinator, Ventura Fish and Wildlife Office, 2494 Portola Road, Suite B in Ventura, California, and the zip code is 93003. And we're going to take a little musical break here, and we'll be back with more news in just a moment. Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.